And so we come to the Shir in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, coming from the Mizrahi Bet Midrash in Melbourne, Australia. And we are on the Mishnah on towards the bottom of Lamed Amud Aleph. And we're continuing the idea of the Takanot, the institutions that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made. And the next Mishnah talks as follows, and it says, Burishona, originally, Haya Halulav Nital B'Migdash Shiva U'B'Medina Yom Echad. The lulav was taken, in other words, there was like Netilat Lulav, in the Bet Mikdash every day of Sukkot, but outside there was only on the first day. And that is the status midraita, as Rashi says. It says, V'simachtam lifnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivat Yamim. You shall rejoice before Hashem, i.e. in the Bet Mikdash, for 7 days. But outside it just says, Ulakachtem lachem b'yom rishon. The mitzvah of Netilat Lulav outside the Beit Mikdash is just on the first day. So that was the way it was done, because that's what the Torah said. Mishacharav Beit HaMikdash, but when the Beit Mikdash was destroyed, Hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Shiyahei Lulav Nitel B'Medina Shiva. The Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana, an institution, that the Lulav should be taken outside of the Beit Mikdash also for 7 days. Doesn't talk here about not doing it on Shabbat. That's not what we're talking about right now. Zecha leMikdash, in memory of the Mikdash. And something else, another takana, but it's put into the same Mishnah, v'yishehei yom hanef kulo asur. The day of waving should be completely forbidden. And we will explain that when we get to it very soon in the Gemara. But first, the Gemara has just got a tiny little bit to say about the idea of taking the lulav 7 days, zecha leMikdash, in memory of the Mikdash. Says the Gemara, Uminalan da avidan zeichel mikdash. How do we know that we do things zeichel mikdash, in memory of the mikdash? Tamakra, because the pasuk says, a pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, Ki aale arucha lacha, I will bring up a cure for you. Makotecha arpaecha, I will heal you from your afflictions. Noom Hashem, says Hashem. So this is a prophecy about the comforting after the Churban. So Hashem says, I will heal you from your afflictions. Ki nitche kara'u lecha, because you are called banished. Sion hi, doresh ein la. It is Sion, and it does not have anyone seeking it. And says the Gemara, Michlal de boi drisha. From this we learn that we need to seek it. So the Gemara, there's a lot to say on this. Rav Soloveitchik has got a beautiful piece comparing Zeichel HaMikdash to Zeichel HaChorban. There are certain things that we do Zeichel HaChorban. We leave part of our house unpainted. We break a glass at the wedding. We are sad in memory of the Chorban. But there are other things that we do Zeichel HaMikdash. And there are a number of things that we do which actually are an expression of Simcha. We remember the Beit Mikdash and we sort of try and recreate it, and that is part of a drisha, the seeking of the kedusha of the Beit Mikdash. And that's all that the Gemara has to say on this takana of taking the lulav 7 days to expand the simcha, not just for 1 day, but for 7 days. Now, v'shiyahei yom hanef kula asa. The Mishnah says that the day of blowing should be completely forbidden. Now, the day of waving. The day of waving refers to the day on which the omer is sacrificed. Now, the omer is cut down, a sheaf of barley, a measure of barley, the measure being an omer, is cut on the second night of Pesach and is brought and offered in the Beit Mikdash on the second day of Pesach. And that offering of the omer is what makes allowed the new grain, the grain of that year. Grain that is harvested, let's say from springtime in the Northern Hemisphere. So let's say from the beginning of Nisan, that might be when you start harvesting grain. That is called chadash, and it cannot be eaten until the omer has been brought on the 16th of Nisan. And from that time onwards, that year's grain can be used. Now, it used to be that the time that you could eat the grain was the time that the omer was brought. So sometime in the morning of the 16th of Nisan. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, after the Churban, after the destruction of the Beit Mikdash, the whole day of the 16th, so that's the day of waving, part of the process of offering the Omer of barley was to wave it in all directions, so that's why that day is called Yom HaNef. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, the new grain should be forbidden all that day until the end of the day. So in the time of the Beit Mikdash, it would be permitted as soon as the Omer has been offered. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, no more Beit Mikdash, it has to stay forbidden all day. Now let's understand a little bit more about this. So the Gemara says, my timer, what's the reason? And the reason is, Mehera Yibane Beit HaMikdash. The Beit Mikdash will be built again speedily. V'yomru, and they will say, now, if Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't have this takana, if there's no Omer to be brought, then you could eat the new grain from the beginning of the day of the 16th. So we've already got three times. In the time of the Beit Mikdash, it could be eaten from when the Omer was brought. After, when there's no Beit Mikdash, at least what we're saying now, we might qualify this later, if there's no Omer to be brought, then the time for eating the new grain starts automatically with the beginning of the day of the 16th. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai changed it so to say, there's no Beit Omer, there's no Beit Mikdash, but we're not going to allow you to eat it from the beginning of the 16th, you have to wait till the end of the 16th. Why? Now, remember I said last night, I got on my hobby horse and I said that it is very incorrect to say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in his Takana were trying to recreate a post-temple Judaism, a Judaism without the temple. And I said he only made 9 Takanot and only 3 of them could be described as direct related to sort of replacing the temple. One of them, this one, is the complete opposite. The basis for the Takana is that the temple is going to be rebuilt any moment. And if we allow people to go back to the situation where in the absence of a temple they can eat the new grain from the beginning of the 16th, then the following scenario will take place. The temple will be rebuilt and people will say, V'yomru, and they said, Eshtaked, which means last year, Milo achalnu b'ha'ir mizrach. Did we not eat the new grain from the time that the eastern horizon got light? In other words, the beginning of the 16th. Achshav nami nechol. We should still be able to eat it from the beginning of the 16th. The lo yada, and they will not know the eshtakad lo hava omer. When last year there was no omer being brought because there was no Beit Mikdash, and therefore ha'ir mizrach hatir, the light on the eastern horizon, the beginning of the day, permitted the eating of the new grain. But in this scenario where the temple's been rebuilt, hashta de'icha omer, now that there is again an omer, Omer Matir. The Omer is what the offering of the Omer allows you to eat the new grain, and it's not dawn itself. Again, in theory, now there's no Beit Mikdash, we should go back to allowing you to eat the new grain from the beginning of the 16th. So let's do that. And everyone eats the new grain from the beginning of the 16th and gets used to it. Then, lo and behold, what's going to happen? Bimheirav Yameinu, the Beit Mikdash is rebuilt. It comes along to the second day of Pesach, and people scratch their heads and they think, well, last year we ate the new grain from the beginning of the day, so presumably we still can. Ah, but they can't, because now the Beit Mikdash has been rebuilt, then the time for eating the new grain is pushed later to the time the Omer is offered. So to avoid people having that confusion, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says they can't eat the new grain the whole day of the 16th. And when the Beit Mikdash is rebuilt, as it will be speedily, then they can go earlier and eat it from the time the Omer is brought. So there's no problem in getting them accustomed to eating it later, but if they got accustomed to eating it earlier, that would be a problem. And you see from this that the whole idea behind the Takana is not we have to recreate Judaism without the Beit Mikdash. On the contrary, it's saying that the period in which we are in is an aberration, and the Beit Mikdash is going to be rebuilt, and we have to be prepared for it. Okay, then the Gemara asks an interesting question, and it says, the end of the fifth line up, De Miyavni Eimat. If it's going to be built, when is it going to be rebuilt? In other words, for Rabbi Yochanan's scenario to make sense, at what moment is the Beit Mikdash rebuilt? Ilema de Avne Beshitzar. If you say it's rebuilt on the 16th of Nisan, so when it comes to the morning of the 16th of Nisan, there's no Beit Mikdash, it's built during the day, then what happens at the first light of dawn in the morning? Hare ha'ir mizrach hitir. The light of the eastern horizon will permit it. Because in the morning of the 16th, when everyone wakes out of bed, gets out of bed, there's no Beit Mikdash yet. So that's not a problem. It's not a problem that the Beit Mikdash is going to be rebuilt and the time will change. Because that year, it won't change. It will still be permitted at the first rays of dawn. So that can't be the answer to the question. The question being, when, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's concern, is the Beit Mikdash rebuilt? It can't be on the 16th. So, in which case, Eila ta'avne b'chamisha. But let's say, in which case, it's built on the 15th or earlier. But then in that case, you should be able to eat the grain mechatzot hayom ulahalan lishteri. From midday onwards, the grain should be permitted. Why? To hadanan. Because we've learned in a Mishnah, harachokin motari mechatzot hayom ulahalan. When the Bet Mikdash existed, the people who lived far away from the Bet Mikdash, who didn't know the moment when the new grain was offered, they could at least eat it from the midday, olahalon, and later, lefisha ein bet din mit atzlim bo, because the bet din, i.e. the people running the Bet Mikdash, would not be lazy, would not be recalcitrant. And we can be sure that they would get their skates on, and oh, they wouldn't wear skates because they can't wear shoes in the Bet Mikdash, but they would get their proverbial skates on and offer the Omer by noon, so everyone's allowed to eat their new grain by noon. In which case, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai should say, look, I'm worried people will eat it before noon, but at least let them eat it after noon, because there's no need to wait any longer. So that doesn't make sense either, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says you can't eat it all day. So, lo nitzracha, the case that it's not needed except, that's the way the Gemara says it, it's not needed except, in other words, the special case that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is worried about is, da'avnei v'chamisha, it's being built on the 15th, samoch l'shkiat hachama, towards the end of the day, just before sunset. Inami de'ivnei belayle, or it's built overnight between the 15th and the 16th. And how does that help? Because before you offer the grain on the 16th, I deliberately reminded you what happens on the night before the grain is cut down. And there's a whole big ceremony of cutting the Omer on the night of the 15th. And that's why the Kohanim will be quick to offer it on the morning of the 16th, because they've got the Omer of barley already. All they have to do is offer it. Well, there's a few other things they have to do, but they can do all that in the morning of the 16th. Aye, what happens if the Bet Mikdash is rebuilt very close to the end of the 15th, or in the middle of the night? There won't be time to go and get the Omer cut down, the Omer of barley. You won't be able time to go and cut it. Therefore, you'll have to cut it on the morning of the 16th, and that will slow down the whole offering the Omer process, and they won't be finished by noon, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says you've got to wait all day, in case people get used to eating it earlier. But in this particular scenario, where there's a very small window of possibility for the Bet Mikdash to be built, if it's built at that time, then people would not be able to eat their new grain during the day of the 16th. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says that's going to apply every year. So it turns out that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is not only very worried about how the Bet Mikdash is going to be built again soon, and we might make sure everyone's ready for it and not get confused, but he's even worried about a tiny sliver of a scenario that it's built on the just before sunset on the 15th, or in the night following the 15th, and that will create the problem. And because we're worried about that situation, we say you can't eat the Omer, you can't eat the new grain, sorry, all day of the 16th. Okay, that is the first answer to the question. But along comes Rav Nachman Yitzchak and gives a different answer to what is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's basis. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, b'shitat, we turn over the page to Lamed Olam Bet, b'shitat Rabbi Yehuda Amra. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, this is a different answer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said the whole day of the 16th is forbidden to eat the new grain because he's following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Of course, this is a little bit anachronistic. Rabbi Yehuda came later. But what it means is they both were of the same opinion. And Rabbi Yehuda Amra, sorry, he said it in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar, who said, now the Pasuk says, when do you eat the, when can you not eat the new grain? Ad etzem hayom hazeh, until this very day. In the Rashi Shir, we had a different translation for etzem hayom hazeh, but Rabbi Yehuda learns, ad itzmo shel yom, until the day itself of the 16th, the kasavar, and he holds, ad v'ad bichlal, up to and including. There's a machloket that occurs a few times in the Gemara when the Mishnah says you can do something ad until, you can daven shacharis until the fourth hour. Does it mean until the beginning of the fourth hour or until the end of the fourth hour? Is it ad v'lo ad bichlal or ad v'ad bichlal? Is it up to and including or up to and not including? So Rabbi Yehuda says you can't eat the new grain until the 16th. That means you can't eat the new grain until the 16th, and that includes the 16th, which means you can't eat the new grain until the end of the 16th. And that is Rabbi Yehuda's position, and he learns it not as a takana, but as what the Torah says. And says Rav Nachman that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is following the same opinion. But it's based on the Torah's pasuk that you can't eat until the end of the 16th. But then the Gemara says, Umi sabar la kavate. Can it be? Does Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai really hold like Rabbi Yehuda? V'ha maflig paligale. But actually he disagrees with him. Actually Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Didnam, because we see in a Mishnah, Mishachar of Bet HaMikdash, from the time the Bet HaMikdash was destroyed, Hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted, Shiyahei Yom Hanef Kula Asar, that the day should be completely forbidden. This is the same halacha, but it's taught in a Mishnah in Sukkah. And there it says, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah, Vahalo, surely min HaTorah hu Asar. It's forbidden according to the Torah, not because of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's institution. Dichtiv ad etzem hayom hazeh. Because it says in the pasuk, as we saw a moment ago, until this very day. So we see in that Mishnah, which is a Mishnah in Sukkah, that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So how can Rav Nachman say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Yehuda are going in the same shita, in the same opinion? Because clearly they are actually arguing. And the Gemara answers, Hatam Rabbi Yehuda Huda Katai. There, in that Mishnah in Sukkah, which we just quoted, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yehuda Tai, he made a mistake. Ihu Savar, he was of the opinion that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai midurabanan ka'amar, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was saying, it's only midurabanan, according to the rabbis, i.e. me in this case, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that you can't eat on the day of the 16th. And Rabbi Yehuda said, that's wrong, because the Torah itself says, you can't eat on the day of the 16th. Velohi, and that was wrong. That's not what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai meant. Midoraita ka'amar. He was actually talking midoraita. He was talking on the basis of what the Torah says. So we now hold that Rabbi Yochanan is following the same opinion as Rabbi Yehuda, but the Torah actually says you can't eat the new grain until the end of the 16th, and that was what he instituted. But hang on a minute. If he instituted it, that's different from saying the Torah requires it. And the Gemara says, V'ha hitkin katani. He instituted. It sounds like he was adding an extra chumrah, midrabanan, on top of the midoraita, on top of what the Torah says. So how can you say that Rabbi Yehuda got it wrong? He, Rabbi Yehuda, thought that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was paskening on the basis of a midrabanan, when really it was midoraita. But that doesn't make sense, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted, which sounded like he brought his own law, midrabanan. The Gemara answers, my hitkin, what does it mean, in hitkin? Dorash v'hitkin. In other words, hitkin we normally understand to mean to make a takana, which is to add a law midorabanam. Says the Gemara, that's not what it means in this case. It means Darish, he expounded, he worked out what the Torah was saying, because it's not explicit, it's implicit. Ad etzem ayom hazeh, that tells you that it includes the whole of the 16th. And once he darshaned it, hitkin, then he established what the rule should be based on what he'd worked out midoraita. Not that he was adding something midrabanan. So that's how we can maintain Rav Nachman's position, that Rav Nachman says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is going in the same opinion as Rabbi Yehuda, that midoraita, you can't eat the new grain on the 16th. That also means, by the way, that my whole drasha about how it's all not preparing for a post-temple Judaism, but rather preparing for a rebuilt temple Judaism, that actually is not the conclusion of the Gemara. That was the first opinion about what was driving Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, but the conclusion was he was actually just quoting what the Torah says all along. The next Mishnah says, another Takana, and we're actually back to Rosh Hashanah. And this Mishnah, by the way, is the secret of why, even in Eretz Yisrael, there is a two-day Rosh Hashanah. So our Israeli friends, our Israeli visitors probably are very excited, because everyone seems to be totally obsessed by how many days Yom Tov are you going to keep. It's the most important question in the whole of Judaism. When an Israeli is outside Israel, or where a chutznik is inside Israel, that is more important than anything else in the world.
So it seems, he says sarcastically. But everyone knows that in Rosh Hashanah there is no difference. How come? Now, how many days does the Torah say should be Rosh Hashanah in the Torah? Just one. Just the first of Tishrei. So why is it that even in Israel we have the first and second day of Tishrei? And the answer is all in this Mishnah. And it says as follows. Berishonah hayu mekablen eidut hachodesh kol hayom. Originally, they would accept eidut hachodesh. They would accept witnesses to say we'd seen the new moon of Tishrei all day. All day being the 30th of Elul. Now, as we learned a long time ago, it seems like a long time ago, the 30th day of each month can become the first of the next month. So when I say the 30th day of Elul, I mean either the 30th day of Elul or it could turn into the first of Tishrei. If witnesses turn up, it's the first of Tishrei, which means what day is it? Rosh Hashanah. Now, there's a line that's not actually in the Mishnah, but you have to understand it. The day of the 30th of Elul, they would always keep as if it was a Yom Tov, because maybe it's going to be a Yom Tov. So the day of the 30th of Elul, which brackets could be the first of Tishrei, was automatically treated as a Yom Tov. And they waited and waited to see if the witnesses would come. So, B'Rishonah Yumakavna Edah Chodesh Kol Hayom. Now, originally, they could accept testimony any time of day. So people might come at the very end of the day and say, oh, you know what? Today was Rosh Hashanah. Now, what I said was, they kept it as Yom Tov. That doesn't mean necessarily they kept it as Rosh Hashanah. They did the Korbanot as if it was a weekday. And they waited to see if the witnesses would come and say, oh, by the way, today is Rosh Hashanah. In which case, they would quickly do the Korbanot for Rosh Hashanah. But there's another problem. Parmachat nishtahu ha'edim milavo. It happened once, but the Edim didn't come until the end of the day, after the Korban Mincha, the afternoon Korban, had been offered. V'nitkalkalu ha'leviyim b'shir. And the Leviyim got the wrong psalm. So instead of saying the normal weekday, well, they did say the normal weekday psalm, but at the Korban, the Korban Tamid, the daily offering in the afternoon. And then the witnesses turn up and they say, oh, by the way, today is Rosh Hashanah, which means they should have been saying the Rosh Hashanah psalm, and they said the regular weekday psalm. And that's what it means, Nitkalkalu Halaviyim Bashir. They got the wrong psalm. Now, I have to say, I've always wondered, and I still sort of wonder, why is that the biggest deal in the world? You know, have you ever been at the end of Shacharis, you're a little bit tired and you turn to the page and you read the wrong psalm for the wrong day? Has that ever happened? Or was it just me? Okay. So is it the end of the world? Well, it's wrong. But does the world come crashing down? This is the worst thing in the world, according to this Mishnah. Tosfos asked a question,
it wasn't wrong at the time.
But retroactively, it turned out to be wrong because the day had been Rosh Hashanah.
Wrong because they knew it was the wrong day.
No, okay, it's not deliberate sin.
Did the right thing at the time.
But it turned out to be the wrong thing. The shear was the shear, i.e. the psalm was the wrong psalm, albeit retroactively. Now, my question was, what about the Korbanot? So if it's Rosh Hashanah, there's a Korban Musaf. If it's not Rosh Hashanah, there isn't a Korban Musaf. And it's worse because once they have offered the Korban Mincha, nothing can be offered after the Korban Mincha. Nothing before the Korban Tamid Shel Shacharit, and nothing after the Korban Tamid Shel Mincha. So if they've said they've offered the Korban Tamid, they've got the wrong psalm, then the witnesses come and say, oh, by the way, today was Rosh Hashanah, they've also missed out all the whole of Korban Musaf. Now, Tosfos' answer is that the Korban Musaf is a Korban Tzibur. It's on behalf of the whole congregation. That would override the prohibition of not offering any Korban after the Korban Mincha. So they would fit it in at the end of the day. So the Korban Musaf could be saved. That's how Tosfos answers the question. But the Korban, the Tamid Shel Bein Ha'abayim, the afternoon daily offering, would still be nitkalkel. It would be, let's call it, spoilt, because they had had the wrong psalm. So, therefore...
Well,
yes?
How can we use the same logic that Tosfos says for the shear, shall they be in?
Because the Korban's done. The Korban Tamid has been done.
I'm saying the psalm that you would say for Rosh Hashanah is Psalm Kehillah, whatever you want to call it, Tzibur.
Yeah, always.
Therefore, shouldn't it also be for the shear shall be in?
But how are they going to do it? They've done, the shear goes with the Korban Tamid. And it's done and dusted. Okay, that's the problem. Anyway, so maybe I'm missing a little bit, but the shear is the problem. And therefore, hitkinu shelo yehu makablin eila ad hamincha. They made an institution that they would not accept witnesses until after mincha. So if a witness came during the day before mincha, it's fine. They already treated the day as Yom Tov. That's not the issue. But they, in the Bet Mikdash, they did the choldik things, the weekday things, including they were ready to do the weekday psalm. The witnesses come before mincha, and it turns out today is Rosh Hashanah, so they do the Rosh Hashanah psalm. Everyone's happy. And if the witnesses come after mincha, as the next line of the Mishnah says, ve'im bo eidim mincha mincha ulamala, if the witnesses came after mincha, no again oto ayom kodesh ulamachar kodesh. They said today is kodesh, and we're going to keep tomorrow kodesh. In other words, we're going to say, we'll call today the 30th of Elul, even though the witnesses have come, and we will consider it as if the witnesses came tomorrow. Because this problem of from mincha onwards, if the witnesses come, it's so problematic, we'll make a takana that the witnesses will treat the witnesses as if they came tomorrow. So we will finish off today b'kodesh, we'll still treat it as Yom Tov, but tomorrow will be the real day of Rosh Hashanah. Which means, how many days Yom Tov did they have altogether? Two. And that, and it's a long story, and I'm just talking, this is like just the beginning of the story, but that actually is the basis for the two-day Rosh Hashanah. So, then, Mishacharav Beit HaMikdash, once the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, there's unfortunately, there's no korban, there's no shear, there's no problem. Hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, sheyehu mekablin eidot ha-chodesh kol hayom. That they, back to the 30th of Elul, they would accept testimony all day because, sadly, there was no shear to get wrong. The Gemara says, my kilkul, what exactly is it that went wrong? Kilkul halavim bashir. The levim got the wrong shear, like the Mishnah says. So that's not much of an answer. I mean, it doesn't add much to our discussion. He's just quoting what the Mishnah says. Really, it's an introduction to what comes next. Hachar tirgumu. Here they explained, Shalo Amru Shira Kol Ikar. That actually the problem was, not that they said the wrong shir, but they didn't say the shir at all. Because of the doubt, they come to the Korban Tamid Shal Mincha and they say, you know what, maybe the witnesses are on their way. I don't know if this is Rosh Hashanah or not Rosh Hashanah. Let's keep shtum and let's not say a shir at all. And that's what the Gemara offers at this moment. Rabbi Zeira Omer, Sha'amru Shira Shalchol im Tamid Shal Ben Habayim. Rabbi Zeira says, no, it's not that they didn't say the shir at all. It's they said the wrong shir, as we said, as I explained in the Mishnah. They said the weekday psalm, whatever day of the week it was, instead of the Rosh Hashanah psalm. By the way, we don't say Shir Shal Yom at Mincha, but the Levium did. So every day we have a Shir Shal Yom, Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, Shabbat, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, a unique shir for each day. There is also a shir for Rosh Hashanah. Now, interestingly enough, some nusachot say both. The daily shir. In other words, if you come to the end of davening on Rosh Hashanah, just when everyone's ready to go home, because it's gone on a long time, and somebody says, oh, don't worry, we've said Aleinu, we're now going to say Shir Shalom. And the usual minhag, and minhag art scroll, is to say the daily psalm that you say every day, whether it's Rosh Hashanah or not. And there's also a special psalm for Rosh Hashanah. The Minhag Hagra is the Minhag of the Vilna Gaon, which is followed largely in Israel, is only to say the Yom Tov Shir and not the daily one. But I'll just tell you now, because it's going to be relevant, that on Thursday, the Shir for Rosh Hashanah is the same as the regular Shir for Thursday. Remember that. It so happens they're the same. Okay. Back to where we were in the Gemara. And we just said, Rabbi Zeira Omar, Sha'amru Shira Shalchol Im Tamid Shalbein Habayim. The problem was, they said the weekday Shir, with the afternoon Korban Tamid. Omru lo Rabbi Zeira La Ahava Borei. Rabbi Zeira said to Ahava his son, Fuk Tani Lahu, go out and teach the following, because this is what you should say. Hitkinu shelo yehu mekablen eidot hachodesh eila kedei sheyeh shahut b'yom lahakriv tamidim umosafim v'niskehem. So this is what Rabbi Zeira wants Ahava, his son, to go out and teach everybody, the following brayta. They instituted that they will not accept testimony about the new moon only unless there is time to on the day to offer the Korban Tamid and the Musaf for Rosh Hashanah and the Nisechem, the Niskehem, the libations that went with them, Volomar Shira Shalo Bashibush, and to say the psalm, not Bashibush. What's Bashibush? Mixed up. Not to say the psalm, but not mixed up psalm. And that's what the Brisa says. Now, let's learn from that Brisa. Iyomar Tabishlema, it works out fine if you say Amor Shira Dachol. It worked out fine if you say the kill call. The problem was that if they accepted the witnesses, or if without accepting the witnesses, they would say the psalm of the day, of the weekday. Hainu de'ika shibush. That's why you say that we need enough time to say the psalm without a mistake. Remember, Rabbi Zeira disagrees with the previous opinion in the Gemara. The previous opinion in the Gemara is that they, if the witnesses hadn't come, they didn't say the shir at all. That's a kill call, but that's the prevention they took. So rather than say the wrong one, they didn't say the shir at all. Rabbi Zeira says, no, that's not what happened. They said the shir, but the wrong shir. They said the weekday shir instead of the Rosh Hashanah shir. Rabbi Zeira brings a proof to his own opinion, because the Brisa says they instituted that they would stop receiving witnesses so that they would have time to offer all the relevant korbanot and say the shir below shibush, without mistake. So now Rabbi Zeira says, look, this works fine for me. Because I said, the problem is, if they don't say the right shir, they'll say the wrong shir. And that's what it means, without mistake. Because if they say the wrong shir, de'icha shibush, there would be a mistake. Eila, but, iamarta, lo amor klal, if you say that what the Levium did when they weren't sure what day it was, is they didn't say any psalm at all, my shibush ika. Then what shibush, what mistake is there? To say no psalm is not saying a psalm with a mistake. To say the wrong psalm is saying a psalm with a shibush. So the fact that the Brisa says they instituted this policy that they wouldn't accept the witnesses so they could say the right psalm below shibush implies that the alternative was to say the wrong psalm and not to say no psalm. But the Gemara replies, you're wrong. Kevon de lo amor klau, based on the opinion, the first opinion of the Gemara, but they didn't say the psalm at all, and that was what they got wrong. Ein lacha shibush gadol mizeh. There's no greater shibush than that. In other words, the basic point that Rabbi Zeira said, that to say no psalm is not an example of what the Mishnah, or what the Braisa calls shibush, is incorrect. To say no psalm is the greatest shibush of all. And therefore, the Brisa that says they instituted that the witnesses should stop coming so that they could say the shir without shibush will work for both Rabbi Zeira and the other opinion, whether they said the wrong psalm or they said no psalm. Another attempt to resolve this. Meitiv Rav Acha bar Huna. Rav Acha bar Huna brings a Brisa which says, Tamid shal Rosh Hashanah shacharit karav ki hilchato. They offered the morning tamid according to its proper laws, but musaf mahu amir. So, what psalm did they say at musaf? And they said the psalm which is Tehillim Pei Aleph, and they said Hareini lelokim uzenu hariu lelokei Yaakov. And the psalm says, "Sing to God our strength, hariu, make the sound of a teruah," i.e., reference to a shofar to the God of Yaakov. That was the psalm they said at Musaf. But Mincha Mahu Amer, at Mincha, what psalm did they say? If it's Rosh Hashanah, they said, Kol Hashem Yachil Midbar. That's Mizmor David, and it refers to the voice of Hashem. Voice, shofar, get it? Rosh Hashanah. Ubizman Shechal Rosh Hashanah Lihiyot B'chamishi. And if Rosh Hashanah fell on Thursday, what's so special about Thursday? Same psalm. B'chamishi b'Shabbat, on Thursday of the week, Shahashira Shalo. There, the daily psalm for Thursday is Harininu Lelokim Uzenu, the same psalm that they said three lines above, which was unique for Rosh Hashanah. Then what did they do? Lo haya omer b'Shacharit, Hareini. They didn't say that psalm in Shacharit. Mipnei Shachozer v'Kofel et HaPeruk, because they're going to go back and say the whole Perek again. In other words, the psalm which we'll call Thursday Psalm, which is also the Rosh Hashanah Psalm, they did not say it Shacharit as the Thursday Psalm, because they were going to repeat it at Musaf, and that's not, I don't know why it's so terrible to repeat it, but they didn't do it because that would have been repeating it. Eilu Mahu Amer. So what did they say at Shacharit? They said another one, which is Tehillim, also Pei Aleph, but from a different part of the Perek. Hasiroti Misevel Shachma. He is removed from the burden from my shoulders. Ve'imbo Eidim Achar Tamid Shor Shachar. And so they did the mourning, if the witnesses came after Shacharis. So they offered the Korban Tamid, and they would have said the normal weekday psalm. And if it was Thursday, they would have said the Thursday psalm. Then, Omei Harneini, Afal Pisha Chosev Akofel Et HaPerek. Then they would say the same psalm, the Thursday stroke Rosh Hashanah psalm, again at Musaf, even though that will mean repeating the whole Perek. So, that's the Brisa. Now let's analyze it. Iyomarta Bishlema, it's all right if you say, it works out fine if you say, Kol Checha de Mistapka Amrinan Shira de Chob. That whenever they were in doubt, they said the weekday psalm. Hainu deka Amar Omru Vakoflo. That's what it means when it says that if the witnesses hadn't come for Shacharis, they would say a psalm, which turns out to be the same psalm that they would repeat at Musaf. Which means if the witnesses hadn't come, they would say the weekday psalm. Now, by the way, what it means is, what he's trying to prove is, by definition, that day is the status of doubt. The whole day of the 30th of Elul, until the witnesses might come, they're in doubt. What do they do? That's really the question. Now, again, go back. Rabbi Zeira and the other opinion in the Gemara, it's not named, that's why I just keep calling it the other opinion, are arguing about what they did at Mincha before the witnesses had come. Did they say the weekday psalm? Or did they say no psalm? That's the dispute. Rabbi Zeira says, look, it's not Rabbi Zeira here, it's Rav Huna, who brought this Mishnah, who brought this Brisa. I just want to say who it is. Rav Acha Bar Huna. He brings this Brisa. And the Brisa says that at Shacharis, if the witnesses hadn't come, they said the normal weekday psalm. Even if there was a chance they were going to have to repeat it because it was a Thursday, and then we were going to say it again in the context of Rosh Hashanah. So what do we see? We see that when they're in doubt, because the witnesses haven't come yet, they said the daily psalm. And again, Kol Hecha, third line up, Kol Hecha de Mistapka, whenever they're in doubt, Omrinan Shira Dechol, they say the weekday psalm. Hainu Deka Amar, and that's why the Brisa says, Omro Vakoflo, that if they said the Thursday Psalm and Shacharit, thinking it was a regular day, they would repeat it once they knew it turned out to be Rosh Hashanah. Eila I Amarta Lo Amor Klal. But if you take the view that in a case of doubt, they didn't say anything at all, which is the other opinion about what went wrong at Mincha, my Omro Vakoflo. What does it mean that they said it and doubled it? That's the question. So that proves, we think, until the next words of the Gemara, that proves that they would have said the weekday psalm in a case of doubt, not that they would have said nothing. Says the Gemara, Shani Hatam de Shira de Yomehu. That's different, because it is the Shir of the day. In other words, it's true, the Brisa says clearly, that in Shacharis, if the witnesses hadn't come, they said the weekday psalm. But that doesn't prove that they would have done the same at Mincha. Because the weekday psalm on the morning on a Thursday, Miman of Shach, as the Gemara would say, either way is the right psalm to say. Either it's because it's Thursday or because it's Rosh Hashanah. So that's why the Mishnah says that at Shacharis they said the Thursday psalm. However, that does not mean in general that they said the psalm of the day even in doubt. What I mean in general, I mean that doesn't apply to Mincha. Because actually, I'm not sure what psalm it was they would have said at Mincha, because as I say, we only say a psalm at Shacharis. But apparently they had a psalm at Mincha, which wouldn't have been the same as the Rosh Hashanah psalm. So even though you can prove from the Brisa that they did say the weekday psalm at Shacharis, that's no proof that they said the weekday psalm at Mincha. So it might still be correct to say they said no psalm at all. I think I will stop there. It is 10:27. Sorry, I've stretched out a bit tonight because there were a lot of important things to, I think, to clarify. So the next shiur will be tomorrow night from Rav Sulin, to whom we say Mazel Tov on the bris of his son Tal. And we will start tomorrow night from the end of the first line of Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph.